Well, welcome to the course, Creating Congregations of Belonging with People of All Abilities. My name is Victoria White. I am the instructor of this course, and I'm just excited to have you be a part of this journey. You may be taking this course for a variety of reasons, maybe to meet some requirements in your studies, maybe out of curiosity, maybe for an entirely different reason, or maybe you are a person living with disability and you're curious what's being said in this course. Whatever the reason, I am delighted to have you along in this course, and I'm excited to introduce the concepts, the authors, the content of this course, as well as just have this conversation about what does it mean to engage in congregations of belonging with people of all abilities. We're going to kind of pick apart what that can mean as we go, and so it's not just about being disability smart, but it's about thinking about people of all abilities in our congregations, and what does it mean to create belonging with people of all abilities? What kind of supports need to be in place? What does it all look like? So we're going to explore these kinds of topics in this course. But first, in this little bit, I want to just give an introduction to myself and tell you a little bit about the course. So I'm also going to introduce you to someone named Barbara Newman, who was the instructor of a previous version of this course that I partnered with. And so we have revamped this course and brought some new content into it, but you are going to see her several times in some of the original video content that we brought along into this version of the course, because there's just such good stuff. So what you need to know about all of this is that I have been learning from a lot of different people for many years. We have learned from research and experts on attitude and framework for ministry, resources and strategies, things about worship and behaviors. We're going to think about cultural context and lean into some of the expertise on that. We're going to explore scriptural understanding. We're going to learn and apply universal design in ministry. I'm going to introduce the idea of introducing people to Jesus who think differently or move differently than you do, plans for individuals and families. We're going to discover areas of difference, like autism and dementia, for example. We're going to embrace the gifts and the arrangement of the body that your setting can be a place of belonging. And so all of these things are just a little bit about what we're going to be doing in this course time and what Barb was very passionate about in her lifetime. And she mentored me for over 20 years in this area of what does it look like to engage in life and ministry with people of all abilities. And so let's dive into some things and just get to know her a little bit, get to know me. I have a master's in special education. I was trained as an educator, and so I come at this with educational best practices that I'm really excited to say also work well in church contexts. And Barb and I spent over a decade going around the country and working with congregations all over the United States, thinking about how do we help more people with disabilities engage in their churches in full and meaningful ways in worship, in fellowship, in learning, and in service. And so I want to let you hear from Barb now for about the next 10 minutes. It's a clip from the previous version of this course, but I think it's going to be a warm welcome and some great insights into where we're going to be going and what this course is going to feel like. So have a look.
I have often found that I have three reactions to this topic. So I might be at an exhibit table, or I might be in a congregation where even they have invited me or speaking at a conference. And there are some people that come up to me and their first reaction is, "Yes, we are so excited. We can't wait to talk to you." And they are so eager to tell me about the day that Jasmine joined the worship team, or the day that Miguel was baptized, or whatever that event might be, but they are so excited to tell me about that in their church community. And often the story is not about the person who may have some kind of a disability or varied ability of some sort. The story is almost always about what happened with everybody else in the community the day that those individuals were part of that leadership or were part of the community in a special way, how that person's presence impacted the entire congregation. And I think there's important information that we're going to have over the next little while about how does that happen and what does that look like and why is that so important. This is not about including a person and all about one individual. I will guarantee you the things we're going to talk about are going to benefit 100% of your community in some way, shape, or form. So yes is one of those reactions, and I love to talk to people because I hear many amazing stories. I think another attitude or reaction that people will sometimes have is this, I sort of have questions. Like, is this a thing? Are congregations supposed to think about this? I don't know that we've really done much of that. Do we have anybody in our community with a disability? I know we have some seniors, like, with limited vision and hearing, but does that count? And I don't know how to think about this. I love to talk to people who have questions. That is a very common reaction, and you might have been enticed into this course, not because you have a yes response, but because you said, oh my goodness, I have questions. Is this a thing? So welcome. I'd love to welcome you into this conversation just as much as a person with that yes, I'm so excited to learn more because we've had a taste of this and it's sweet. But there are many congregations and people in congregations who just have questions. What does that look like? How do we do this? Don't you need like an expert to pull this off? Those, I think, are so many of the confusing questions people may ask. But I think there's another category. Call them what you want. Sometimes I call them the no eye contact individuals. But the people just say, no, maybe if I don't look at her, she's just going to go away because I don't really want to think about this topic. It's confusing, or it's we had a bad experience, or in our culture, in our country, that word disability is viewed with shame. I don't think we're supposed to be thinking about this topic. And that is a very common response too. But again, I have a story that goes along with that particular response. I was riding these escalators in St. Louis, Missouri, speaking at a conference, and this was a long road up. The pastor behind me clipped his phone shut, and he said, oh, I just have to tell you about my phone call. I said, what is it? Got a call from one of my friends, and they want me to come out to do the funeral service for their child. They had four children, and their youngest child, at the age of 5, passed away, had many areas of disability. And so they had called this family friend and said, would you come and do the funeral service? But the pastor had asked his friend on the phone, don't you want your own pastor to lead the funeral service for this child? And they said, I got to let you know, we have spent the last 5 years in our community searching for a church that would allow all of us to attend. And we could not find one within a 1 hour driving distance of our home. Can you imagine that? He said, I just finally gave up. And so I was thankful that the pastor of the church down the road said that we could attend there. But we needed somebody, or had the funeral service there, but we needed somebody else to run the service. So I'm calling you. And I looked at that pastor and I said, you have got to be kidding. The first time that child's body is welcome in a church is in a casket. Those kinds of stories are abundant, unfortunately. Those kinds of stories of exclusion instead of inclusion, those kinds of stories that say, oh my goodness, we have been searching for those places of belonging. We have been sent away. And I imagined that funeral, a few people would have gathered. But what would it have been like if that church where they were holding that funeral service had said yes far earlier? They would have known that child who was 5. They would have known what made him smile. They would have had relationship with a family, and they could have walked that journey together with one another. So I don't know which category you're part of, and you might truly be part of that no. Maybe this course is a requirement, so you're taking it, and you really have either had a bad experience or you're not sure at all how this is going to fly in your country or in your setting. Really, really want to invite you into this topic, not only at a biblical level, but also at a very, very practical level of some tools that you can use.
I just want to share with you some statistics. And these are going to come from the United States context. And so I want you to be thinking about what is true in your context as you move on from this video and more into the assignments. But let me just share with you some information. So 1 in 6 children in the United States experience disability. That comes from the Center for Disease Control, so a governmental agency that has done census and has said, yep, this is true. 1 in 3 households have at least one family member with disabilities. This comes from a national health interview survey in the United States. 1 in 4 adults experience disability. So 1 in 6 children, 1 in 4 adults experience disability. These numbers also come from the CDC. But here is a staggering fact. 1 in 3 families have left their church because their child with disabilities was not welcomed or included. This is from a congregational participation study by Dr. Eric Carter and Dr. Collins and Alt and others. So think about that fact. 1 in 3 families have left the church because someone in that family was not welcomed in that church. Those are numbers that I'm hoping courses like this can change. And so I'm going to be introducing you to some folks and some resources that have been developed to change those statistics. Would you come along with me and help us to change those numbers in the United States and in your own context, finding out what those statistics are, who has disabilities in your community, and what are the numbers? Because each one of those numbers is a person and is a family who could be a part of your church, but perhaps is not. So, let's think about what this looks like all around the world, right? I mentioned that 1 in 3 households have at least one family member with disabilities. And students in this course have reported different numbers in their local context. So in the Caribbean, it's also true that 1/3 of households has at least a person with a disability. Korea and China report maybe 5 to 7% of the population are registered as having a disability. In South Africa, Nigeria, and Germany, they report 1 in 10 people. Ethiopia reports closer to 1 in 5 people. The UK reports 1 in 4 people have disabilities. Now, I would love to learn from you what is true in your area, because I don't know the numbers all around the world. I also don't know if all of these are reporting accurately. I wonder if it's including people who are under certain ages or over certain ages. I wonder if some of the people who are registered as having disabilities might be ignoring certain conditions. So these numbers may not be entirely accurate if we truly look at the people and the lives that are impacted in this. But I am just curious. And I want to think about that our communities are not designed well to work for people with disabilities, and that includes our churches. So we're going to dive some more into what all of that can mean, but here's something for you to think about, a quote I want to share with you, and this was by a woman named Kelsey Hamilton. She was doing her master's in divinity in disability and ministry, and she says this: individuals with disabilities have gifts and vocations to offer the church just like any other non-disabled individual. But we will not know all that they have to contribute if we continue to live in the ignorance of their absence. So part of my question is, who's not a part of your community? Who should be? Now, I'm going to give us some resources in this course to help us reflect on things and to ponder where we can go next. And so you're going to see excerpts from Accessible Gospel Inclusive Worship, written by Barbara Newman, who you met in that video. You're also going to see excerpts from her book Worship as One: Varied Abilities in the Body of Christ. And then you're going to encounter content from a book called There Is No Asterisk by a man named Dan Vanderplatz. He is also now a friend of mine, as we've been interacting in this work for some time together. So you're going to meet him in a video in a little bit as well. But I just want you to know that you will have excerpts of these for your readings throughout this course. And the course content will probably be a little heavier in the reading here at the beginning, but then as we go, there will actually be other articles, videos, and links to have a look at some different resources that have developed even more as recently as in the last couple of years. So I'm excited to introduce you to these tasks or these resources. So as we go, I want to also tell you that there will be some assignments So as far as the intake goes, right, you're going to watch lecture videos like this one. You're going to have some reading or viewing assignments of articles, excerpts, and videos. There will also be some not required but extremely helpful supplemental links that I'm going to share with you so that you can look at some other resources that are out there and developing as well. And then in terms of your output, there will be quizzes just to check your understanding, and there will be response assignments that I would like for you to do as a cumulative project. So I don't want you to respond in sending me something each time. I want you to hang on to it all, collect it into one document or slideshow, or create videos and combine it all. You get to decide how it works best for you to compile all of these responses and your way of responding. But I want you to submit it towards the end of the course, and it'll be very clear when to submit that. So not every single week has one of these response assignments, so just watch the instructions to know when one of those response assignments is a part of that week's work, but then at the very end of the course is when you will submit all of the work compiled into one PDF or document or file that you will submit to me so that I can look through it and then respond to it. So I hope that you are looking forward to the learning. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing from you and just exploring this topic together. So if you're willing, I'm willing. Let's go.